I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. As you've heard over the last few weeks, been jumping on a couple of podcasts, just talking footy a little bit about my story and whatnot. I was lucky enough to jump on the Big Stiff podcast. To be honest with you, this is one of the ones I've enjoyed the most out of all the podcasts I've been on. I think these two boys are going to create some awesome content. I haven't had a chance to listen to some of their other podcasts myself, but just from sitting down and talking to them, do podcasts with plenty of podcasters and whatnot, and you just get a vibe of some guys that they know what they're doing. These two, they definitely fit the bill, so stay tuned. Sort of got a bit of a Hello Sports vibe to them when I was talking to them. Really enjoyed my time. Had a couple of beers with them that afternoon as well, so it was a sensational time. Really enjoyed it. I've broken their podcast down into two bits. The first bit here is just talking rugby league. We talked a heap of stuff, including, you know, stuff from 2021, stuff heading into 2022, Melbourne Storm, Redcliffe, name it. We spoke about everything rugby league. Really good clip here. Goes for about half an hour, and then later this afternoon we'll have part two, which is more so talking about my story and more so the social media side. Been dropping a few podcasts on those sort of topics recently. A lot of people seem to be enjoying it, but it's not for everyone. I know that a lot of people just prefer the raw footy content, which there is plenty of it coming. But this social media chat that we'll be dropping this afternoon, a really good yarn as well. So make sure you follow the boys, the Big Stiff Podcast. Go and check out their podcast. They're on Instagram as well, at the Big Stiff Podcast. Please go and check out the boys. They're putting out some outstanding content. Really enjoyed with this chat with them. Let's kick it off.
Oh, welcome back, listeners. I think we've clocked up to 50 listeners now. We're hitting states and territories in Belgium, India, bloody Kazakhstan. Scotty Ballman, how are you? We're hitting the big, mate.
Yeah, good, mate. How are you? Going well?
Good. Good. I'm bloody good. I'm stoked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how's freedom?
Yeah, I haven't had much of it. All the pubs are fucking full on the weekend, so I didn't book anything. Just stayed at home, had a few beverages. What about yourself? How is it in Queensland?
Well, she's just opened it up, isn't she? So the borders are going to be opened December 17th, I think it is. Open free-for-all. So, open the floodgates.
Yeah,
so, welcome. Okay. Just in time for Christmas. Big one today.
Mm.
Rugby league guru, Nick the Durkin Gherkin. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to getting stuck in.
Bloody oath. So, mate, let's get cracking. The Dolphins. Huge talking point. They got the bid. No geographical name, just the Dolphins, just like McLovin. What do you make of that?
Mate, I hated it when I first heard it. I think that the Redcliffe Dolphins is just perfect. I mean, even if you're not from Queensland like myself, it's just full of history straight away. It's always a club that, without living in Queensland, I've always been aware of. I reckon they've got some of the best kits in the game. There's not many.
Yeah, they do.
Like red, gold, and white. You don't see many teams like that. I reckon it just hits mad. So, I've been a bit surprised how they settled for Redcliffe Dolphins, and then they've essentially moved completely away from that since making that decision. It's Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. I'm so excited for the Dolphins. I think it's going to be unreal, but I wouldn't have expected them to go about it the way they have, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm really excited with that that Lee's club up the back there.
Oh, mate, how good.
Oh, seriously.
Have you been up to the stadium?
No, I haven't been up there either, but, mate, whenever I saw it on TV, fuck. It looked
sensational. Like the whole bar, essentially the whole RSL and League Hub just opens out onto that deck. But I remember playing there like in under 12s with Beric Barnes and in the state carnival. And
he doesn't want to name drop, but he will.
Yeah, like they have like this tunnel that's built into the hill, and it's like it's this awesome tunnel. And as a kid, you walk in that, you're like, this is what it's like to be a football star. So it's awesome. It's a great field and it's a good location.
Oh, mate. Oh, I think some things will happen there. It'll be unbelievable. Some great scenes. So,
I think I'm going to jump on, actually. I'm going to jump on the Dolphins, I reckon.
Are you going to become a member?
I think so. I think me and my son are going to do it.
Mm. So, mate, Wayne Bennett, the coach. If you were Wayne Bennett, who would you sign first? Who would be your first signing?
Mate, it's hard. A couple of names being thrown around. I think it has to be one of, you know, KP, Harry Grant, or Munster, personally. Always, as you blokes probably know, I'm the biggest fucking fan of Harry Grant of all time. But that prelim final definitely was a bit of a worry. That's the worst game of football I've seen him play in, I reckon, 5 years, to be honest with you, from all of his time at the Falcons and everything. I just keep coming back to, though, how Wayne Bennett got the absolute best out of Munster in State of Origin. And, you know, Wayne Bennett, you know, people are messaging me saying, oh, you can't pick Munster as your franchise guy. You know, he was doing coke last week. He was doing this. He was doing that. I'm like, fuck. Bro, that's who Wayne Bennett has built his legacy around.
Yeah.
Cunts that he just gives a bit of a longer leash to and just lets him go. So, mate, I think Munster would be perfect, to be honest with you. I think that would be an unreal little pick. It's funny how a year ago he was coming off a bender. He was winning Origin. It was the coolest thing in the world. Everyone loved it.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, a 27-year-old is around a bit of cocaine and he's the worst bloke in the world. I mean, I could throw a dart out the window and hit a 27-year-old that's been around a line of coke. Like, it's
100%.
It's a wild storyline.
Yeah, 100%. Now,
going back to Munster, I reckon he and Harry Grant would be the two that I'd be going for. Yeah. I'd be going both.
I think I was reading the other day something about Harry Grant. I think his father, brother, and grandfather all played for Redcliffe, I believe, something along those lines. So, mate, I think it'd be unreal to get the two of them. I had people message me the other day saying, oh, Cameron Munster, he's going to be sober for a year. He's going to play his best footy. I go, fuck, I don't know if he will, eh? I'm not convinced that's how it's going to work with Munster, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's been getting away with it for so long. Like, just let him go, to be honest. Like, I know, they're in the public eye so much these days and nothing, they can't get away with anything. It's just ridiculous. Like you just look at that hotel room. They were in a safe environment. They weren't out and about in the public. Like, fucking just let him go. Like, it's not that bad. Like, unbelievable. I've heard, obviously, the Tigers are in a toxic, their board's absolutely fucking toxic. Now, the bloke, the GM that just got fired, Adam Hartigan, who's brought Uto, Blore and Laurie over, are they a chance to go to the Redcliffe? Because they'd be a fucking good snare for Redcliffe.
Mate, can you believe that the Tigers sat there last week and decided what's wrong with our system? I think they sacked the one guy that wasn't broken in the system. He's the one guy that's done his job in the last 18 months, and they decided, nah, we're good. We don't need you. It's blown me away. I think that those three would be prime targets to head up there. You'd probably get them for good value. And I think that's going to be the key to this Dolphins side is that, you know, everyone wants to talk about the big signings, but they're only going to make up 20% of this team. It's going to be the other 80% that is going to matter for me, and they're going to have to find ways to get value. Mate, dare I say, if Dane Laurie gets a call from Wayne Bennett and he says, I want you, where do I sign?
Mate, he'd be on good. You'd get him pretty cheap, I'd imagine, too. Like, all three of those boys, mate, they are fantastic franchise players. And Stefano, he's going to go gangbusters within the next 5 years. Like, he's sensational. And like Hardo, like we were talking to Paulie, who's a massive diehard Tigers fan, like the one shining light in that club, and they've gotten rid of him. So it's like, fuck me dead, like, what are you doing?
Pasco, so, go.
Yeah, so look, that leads on to the next positional drama that they've got at the Tigers. Adam Dewey, does he stay? Like,
yeah,
if Wayne gives him a call, like,
yeah,
because that's another target that you go, yeah, I give you close to $1 million to build your team around.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, if they manage to lose him, I'm not sure if you guys watched that Tales of Tiger Town, but
yeah, mate, I did. Yeah.
The way they spoke about him, it's like he has a bronze statue out the front already. Like,
yeah, yeah.
He's played 20 games of football there when they recorded that, and they were saying he's the future captain, he's the guy to build around. Mate, I don't think, you know, he obviously started at South, he came to the West Tigers, it's all good and well, but I reckon with just the right phone call, he would have to consider leaving just to play finals footy. He's too good not to be competing for premierships year in, year out. So it'll just be an optics nightmare if they don't manage to hold on to him.
I honestly think, yeah, he could go to the Dolphins for sure. I think he's a big chance, and you could get him for quite cheap too, like, because obviously he's very injury prone as well.
Well, mate, and this is the thing, like when you bring in a new franchise, it should be really difficult for you to sign people, but when Wayne Bennett's making the phone calls, it completely flips the narrative. It's I'm so happy that Wayne's there just for the sake of rugby league. Like, we can't, if we're going to bring in a new team, we can't afford for it to be a flop. And I think he's the best possible guy to be in charge here. I think Bellamy'd be right up there, but we haven't seen Bellamy in a different system. We haven't seen him, you know, start from scratch. We've seen Wayne travel around and turn shit systems into good systems. I really like it. I think it's going to be great.
Now, premiership favourites for next year. Who are you backing to take it out? Obviously, you do a lot of research. I've put money on the Roosters, actually. I've put $50 on them. I think they'll be a lot stronger next season.
Oh, they'll be a new team.
Yeah, 100%. You know, Kiri's back. It's quite phenomenal what they achieved this year.
It's the biggest compliment to Trent Robertson of his career. I know he's won three premierships. He's gone back-to-back. I think what he did last year was probably his best season of coaching. Mate, I'm now sitting here wondering, is Drew Hutchinson going to be in the starting team next year? I wouldn't have had him... If I was short for Oztag at the start of the year and Hutchinson said, I'm free, I would have said, no, we're good. Like,
So true. And he was bang ordinary in those first few rounds. Like, mate, he was handbraking that team massively, but he came good.
Yeah. And he just his left foot kicking game, it just kept the Roosters in the contest. It was the best thing for Sam Walker possible. I mean, they would have been in serious trouble without him. And then when he wasn't there and Lachie Lamb came in, I thought he was sensational as well. And that's without any experience around them. That's without a genuine hooker for most of the year as well. And, you know, the other thing is that, you know, these guys, yes, they did the preseason, but they wouldn't have done halfback and 5'8 reps. They would have stepped in here and there. And I mean, it's unbelievable what they achieved and what they could do with an entire preseason. It could be anything. It's scary.
Yeah, I agree. Now, this is a big one. Now, does Luai keep that starting spot in State of Origin, or does Kiri come back firing and he takes that Origin spot off him? Because he was a favourite this year, last season. What are your thoughts on that? Because I could see Kiri and Cleary.
Yeah, I think it's probably Luai's to lose. He's the incumbent. He didn't play in game three. They lost that one. I don't think Freddie will change that combination. I think Luke Kiri will have to win it back off him. It'll be interesting because you got to remember as well that what's Origin? It's normally in about round 10 or something, or round 12, around that mark. Nathan Cleary's going to miss, I would estimate, six weeks. Yeah, okay, 6 weeks. Yeah. If he misses 6 weeks, all of a sudden, Jerome Luai's handed the keys. It could be a really interesting time for him. Like, we've seen this year that, I mean, last year, you couldn't bag Jerome Luai without people coming to hunt you down. This year, people were getting stuck into him constantly, as was the media. So I think it's sort of open slather for him now. As much as he's won a premiership, people are going to credit most of it to Nathan Cleary. They've let Matt Burton go to keep him, essentially. So it's going to be a big year for Jerome Luai. I'm really interested to see how he goes. I think the sixth jersey is his to lose, though. I assume he will be there game one.
It's the most turned over number in New South Wales Origin history, though. Bloody six is just... Like, you have one bad game, it's the worst position to be in because you're out the door. The next person's in.
Mate, they've had some 5'8 and halfbacks, haven't they? Good God. The amount of times they've picked an 18-year-old and gone, this is the guy. And then 10 days later, no, this isn't it. We made a mistake.
You got it. You made a little segue into the next team that we wanted to chat about, Matt Burton, Bulldogs. Mate, they bought half the bloody competition. That's going to be like a totally – you won't even recognise them next year. What do you make of their chances of making a top eight?
I think it's incredible what they've done. To consider, as you said, they've signed half the competition. They've won 12 games of football in 3 years. Mm-hmm. Teams not winning games of football consistently – like, you look at the West Tigers, they are struggling to sign anyone. They're linked to everyone. They're struggling to sign anyone. The only guy in the NRL they've signed is Tyrone Peachy. Seemingly no one else wanted him. Whereas Canterbury, they're getting... They've signed four guys that have won premierships in the last 2 years. Like, these are out-and-out winners that are willing to go there. The halfback jersey's still a worry for me. Same thing as what we spoke about with New South Wales. They brought Kyle Flanagan. They brought him in. I mean... last season was always going to be a write-off for Canterbury, let's be perfectly honest here. I don't understand why they didn't give him more time. Avarillo, I love him as a footballer, but fuck, you can't tell me he's a halfback.
No, he's a six. Mm. He's an out-and-out six, but Burton's there.
Like, yeah, he's a six or a one. I think halfback would be his fourth best position, realistically, in the back line.
It could become like the ultimate 14.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, do you reckon that's a feel-good effect? Obviously, he's been there for the last
few months. Be fair, they signed a lot of these guys before Gus got there, which just bewildered me. I couldn't work out what the hell was happening there because Gus was obviously at the Warriors and they were making all these great signings left, right, and centre because of him and Peter O'Sullivan. I think it's so impressive what Trent Barrett's made. To convince people to go there when he's a coach that has achieved nothing, he's not the most popular guy in the world. I mean, it's an incredible effort.
But like historically, Bulldogs can turn it around pretty quickly. Like they've shown that they can go wooden spoon down the bottom and then just fucking turn it right around. Like they played the grand final 2014 or 15 against the Bunnies. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're not that far off from getting a few wins and then just getting a run. They just need a solid team that they can and a good spine, right? And they've pretty much bought that right now.
Oh, I think as well, though, it is harder to get off the bottom now than what it ever has been. And I think right now the NRL is the hardest competition in the world to get off the bottom.
It is.
People undervalue how difficult it is. I mean, you look at that West Tigers side. The front rower, he was their best front rower. He overachieved. The fullback overachieved. The 5'8 overachieved. Yep. And all we've done is bag him. Like, everyone's given him no hope. Yep. And all they've done is overachieve in key positions. It's crazy.
Now, wooden spooners. Well, you just gave us a segue for that. Who are your contenders for that?
I think the Tigers will be up there. I think they'll compete for it. I'd probably lean towards the Cowboys, though.
Don't you do it, you dirty dog.
Oh, mate, I hope I'm wrong. I want to see Toddy Payton be successful, but it's just, I don't... I mean, you blokes can probably talk more on it. I don't understand what he's doing up there.
The roster's not changing that much, so it wouldn't shock me.
But you know what? You don't even need a massive roster change. You just need to play him in the right fucking positions. Utilise guys the way they should be utilised. The amount of time he spends with Taumalolo in the 13 jersey when you got Ruben Cotter just with his dick in his hand. I saw Fox League post a thing the other day, their team for next year. Ruben Cotter wasn't even in it. I couldn't...
Really?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's batshit crazy.
He's dancing like another Connor Watson. Yep. Like, he's good. Like, he's good for this quick... fast-paced, you know, rugby league. Like, he needs to be in that side 100%. Like, it's just stupid. Like, not having him.
The person that I want the Cowboys to sign is Hudson Young. I reckon he would be, or the Dolphins for that matter. Like, he is the perfect player in, like, this modern day of footy where he's got the pass, he's got the offload, he's quick off his feet, and he can do it all. And Scotty and I, we just absolutely froth him. We love him. And he's not spoken about. No one talks about Hudson Young, but he's fucking awesome.
Mate, he reminds me a lot of Mitch Barnett. They're very similar footballers. Yes. No one spoke about Barnett for the first 5 years, and I was sitting there watching him going, can no one else see this bloke? Like, he can play. And then I reckon Hudson will have that year where he does explode. If he was to end up at Redcliffe, I think Wayne Bennett would be the best thing to ever happen to Hudson Young. He's obviously got a bit of, I wouldn't say dickhead, but he's got a bit of that, you know, he's got rough edges about him. And I think Wayne Bennett would just be, you know, we spoke about it with Cam Munster, that Wayne Bennett, he's made a career out of getting the best out of these fellas. I think Hudson Young would be a perfect fit up there. He's one guy I hadn't even really thought about, and he'd be a good value guy. He hasn't played Origin. He's not on the radar. He's not starting in his team. You get him for really cheap, and he'd go up there and he'd arrive there as a guy that Canberra didn't want. Mate, could you imagine that bloke when he's upset? Like, it could be anything.
Yeah. Well, I fucking love him. Because Ricky actually dropped him for like 6 weeks. And Roscoe and I were like, what the fuck?
We're like, what the fuck's
going
on?
Yeah. Like, is this a G up? Like, and then you got Andrew Johns at the start of the year saying Hudson Young's a fucking future Origin player. And then Ricky's fucking dropped him. It's the same with Madge with Uto as well. Drops him. Then Uto gets selected for the New South Wales side as 19th man just because he's a young gun, like he's a future New South Wales player, and then plays in the rest of the year.
And then he comes back and he's their best player by a country mile because he had an opportunity to be with anyone else. It's crazy.
Yeah. Plays 65 minutes a game after that. Like, what the hell's going on?
And the 15 minutes they're not on the field, they look like a busted arsehole because they're missing their 18-year-old. Right. Like, it's crazy.
Exactly fucking right. Dally M predictions. Is Turbo going back to back?
I was just going to say, how many games is Turbo going to play?
Yeah,
like, it's
surely.
It's just like that, isn't it? You couldn't possibly go past Turbo. I think Teddy will be right up there as well. I think he played potentially his best rugby league this year. Obviously in a side. You obviously couldn't say they were struggling, but they weren't at the same level they were. I said that the other day, and someone said to me, oh, but Luke Keary's going to take points off him. Luke Keary's not the sort of guy that steals. Like, he is just a catch and deliver. He just creates space for the guys around him, and I think that'll make Teddy so much more dangerous. But, mate, you'd be brave to say anyone other than Turbo, Cleary, or Teddy, realistically. I think it has to go to one of those guys. Cleary, if he misses the first 6 weeks, I think that rolls the red carpet out for Turbo.
And what do you think their prospects are next year? Do you reckon they can do one better? Obviously, Schuster, Olakuatu have got a year under their belt. They're fucking looking pretty good.
We're massive fans of the Sea Eagles. Love them. That forward pack is so good. It's sexy. Yeah. It's like the best forward pack in the game for mine.
Mate, I want to say they can win it, but God, what I saw in the finals really worried me.
Yeah.
For them to go 1-2, and you know they beat the Roosters, who yes they played well all year, but it was still half a Roosters squad in finals footy after playing 25 weeks with a heap of Reggies running around for them. Like, I don't know. And like, they didn't even get close to Melbourne. They didn't get close to South Sydney. Like, they just got absolutely done and dusted in those games. It's really hard to say. And I mean, Chez played a full season. Foz played a full season. Like.
Yep.
I hope I'm wrong, but are you going to get another 20 games out of Kieran Foran next year? Are you confident that's going to happen? Like, there's just, I feel like they had a lot of things that did go their way once Turbo returned, and then they put themselves in a spot to be able to win that competition, and they just shot blanks for me. I think that if they can get that hooker back, Finu, that's a game changer. But fuck, mate, it feels like he's been sitting there for a decade waiting to play. Like,
I know.
I've heard his brother's quite good too.
His brother's a
good. He's a halfback on 5'8". So, like, what do you reckon if Foz goes down, Schuster?
Yeah.
Schuster goes to six? Have to.
I think Schuster should be the next six anyway. I've only ever seen him play 5'8" before he came into first grade. When they named him the back row, I sort of thought, what on earth are they doing? But, he obviously brained it. But I think he's too skillful to not be playing 5'8". If he's not at 5'8", you play him at 13, you move Gerbo into the front row. But, it's probably not a bad thing for him to sort of be out on the edge for the first few years of his career. I don't mind that, but I think long-term...
It's a massage him in,
I think long-term, Schuster, he has to be in the middle. He has to be touching the ball 30 to 40 times instead of 15 times a game.
He's like a way better version of Felitti Matteo.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. He's like Felitti Matteo on every good day.
Make surprise packet for next year. Who are we saying, like, who's going to really surprise everyone? I know preseason hasn't even begun, but
Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Mate, I don't know, to be honest with you. I still think those top four teams are the only four teams that can win it. I take South Sydney out of there without Reynolds. I just don't see any of those teams beating Melbourne, Roosters, Penrith, Manly, I'm going to throw them in there. I can't see anyone knocking over those footy sides. I think that there'll be teams like Brisbane who will improve out of sight, but they could finish 10th, and I wouldn't be fucking surprised in the slightest either.
Yeah. Sharks, maybe.
I was just about to say the Sharks, but I mean...
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, they'll improve, but...
They don't have a seven, though.
That's the worry. And I mean, they were ninth this year. They were eighth the year before that, eighth the year before that. I mean, if they drastically improve, do you see them jumping into that top five? Personally, I don't. So, yes, they'll improve, but that means they jump up two spots and still aren't contending for a premiership, in my opinion.
I'm going to say, put it out there, the Raiders are going to finish higher than what they finished this year with Fogarty, with Whiten. I reckon he really needed a halfback that's going to fucking guide. And Fogarty, he's just like what you said, he's just a show and go. He just gives good service, and he's got a good kicking game. It's going to really take the weight off Whiten's shoulders.
I've been a little bit controversial with this one. I like Fogarty. I think he's a good footballer, but I don't think there's a gaping gap between what Fogarty is and what Sam Williams is, to be perfectly honest with you. Everyone says to me, oh, you need a guy that's going to organise, that's going to do the kicking. Fucking Sam Williams, he's right there. Like, I don't get me wrong, Fogarty is a better footballer, but, mate, it's not like you're getting Jerome Hughes down there. It's not like you're getting DCE. Like Fogarty in the back end of the season, mate, tell me Toby Sexton didn't play him under the table.
Oh,
100%.
I can't believe they dropped him.
Like, yeah, it's a little wonder why he's staying, right?
Yeah, and then...
I could not believe they dropped Toby.
Mate, that team was worse when Fogarty came back in for me.
Yep.
You're right.
You're 100% right. Look, I think Fogarty will be good in Canberra, but, mate, I don't think he's the needle mover that people are expecting him to be. Happy to be proven wrong. I really like him. I think he's got an unreal story. Obviously, it took him a long time to find his way in first grade. But, geez, mate, it's a culture change, isn't it? Up there, living on the Gold Coast, no expectations. Fucking walk into freezing cold Ricky Stewart's locker room when they're in a bit of trouble. It could be chaos down there.
Whole Hodgson drama. Fucking hell. What's going on there?
Mate, it's...
Like, honestly...
Is he going to Tigers?
No, apparently he's not now. And, mate, that's another thing. Tigers, I mean, if I look at their squad and I go, what do they need? I go, you know what? They've got Little, they've got Simpkins. They're pretty well covered at hooker. And now they're trying 100%. To bring in Josh Hodgson. I don't... Mate, they're literally fixing problems they don't have consistently. Mm. I don't... It makes no sense to me.
Yep, I agree. Now, let's move on to the Bunnies. Now, obviously, do you think their window's closed?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now that Renault's gone, obviously Renault's big shoes to fill. If the Bunnies are to go any good this season, it's going to come back to Cody and Latrell. They're going to have some fucking bumper years. So what are your thoughts on that one?
I think Wayne's the biggest shoes to fill, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And, mate, during that grand final, I know it's a grand final, I get it, but every time they flashed up to that coach's box, Wayne Bennett was sitting there cool as a cucumber. The bloke next to him, the assistant... Mate, he looked like he was having a fucking fit up there. Like, I just think it's going to be really tough next year when he's, you know, he's obviously not cool as a cucumber like Wayne is, which is fine. Not many guys are because not many guys have 50 years of successful coaching experience. But when things start to go wrong, you don't have a seven. And to me, looking in that into that room that night, it looked like he's going to come in there next year and lose his fucking head. And I just don't know how... those guys are going to react to it. I don't know how Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell are going to react to it. They've played their best footy of their career under Wayne Bennett. He's got a certain way of doing things. And I kind of feel for Andrew Demetrio because, he's been the assistant. He's watched Wayne. But, mate, I imagine Wayne, he would be explaining what he's doing and he wouldn't explain it to you in 100 words. He'd explain it in 10 words and just not want to give you much more. Not because he's trying to hide from you. It's just who Wayne Bennett is. He's just there to get his job done. Move on with it. I just think it's going to be really hard shoes to fill. And, mate, you take out the best kicking game in rugby league, arguably with Nathan Cleary. it changes everything. It just like, that grand final, Nathan Cleary, his kicking game was a 9.5. Reynolds was a 9. No one's fucking talking about it. No one's even mentioned it. Like, they're going to miss him so much. It's just puts a lot of pressure on Cody. Who's going to play 7? They've brought Anthony Milford. I'm sorry, that's not the answer. You've brought Anthony Milford in the same six weeks that Wayne Bennett left. He's only ever played good football under Wayne Bennett. It just, I don't know. There's just a lot of question marks. They've got a good enough forward pack. They've got enough talent in Cody Walker, Latrell Mitchell to bully those bottom eight sides and make the finals. But I just don't know if on the big stages they can compete with those top shelf sides realistically.
No, they're missing a few signings, a few key players. We got a good friend of the show, Cookie. He's a diehard bloody South fan. He is saying Blake Taff, future immortal. Like, the club is putting so much weight onto Blake Taff and Elias. So, mate, if one of those two are going to play halfback, big shoes to fill. I don't know. Like, that's a lot of burden.
Yeah, I think they'll start the season with Blake Taff, and then I think Ilias will be the 7 by the end of the season. I think Ilias is the better halfback, but he's very raw. He's very young, and if you are raw and young coming into a team like that, it's so much pressure on you, and you've got a guy next to you who's an unbelievable footballer, but he's an instinctive guy. I mean, mate, you look at Cody Walker's stats this year, 40 try assists, whatever the hell it was. I wish there was a stat for who creates the space for that try assist, because Adam Reynolds would match him. He'd go one for one with him.
It's going to take so long, and it's almost like South are just going to have to punt the season and just work on combinations, because those boys were playing together for like 10 fucking years. Like, it's an unwritten law. So it's like, you don't even have to think. You know what old mate's going to do beside you, what lines. You just have to look at each other. You don't even have to look. You know where he's going to be. Whereas those younger boys, they're going to struggle.
And that's the other thing with that left side that's always been their strong side. Yes, you got AJ, you got Cody Walker, but you've now lost Adam
Reynolds
and Gagai. So you've now got two gaps to fill in your strongest asset in your football team. Campbell Graham, I assume, will go over there, who I think he will do well. But, I mean, he doesn't have that same combo. There would be little things that Gagai and Walker, they do that they don't even need to communicate with each other, and they probably wouldn't even be able to explain it, because it's just a natural instinct sort of thing for them. So
absolutely.
I think it's going to... And that's, as I was saying with Wayne before, there's going to be a heap of things that Wayne does that he probably can't explain, because he's just been doing them for 50 years. He just knows how to get it done. It's common knowledge to him. And, mate, there's no way that Adam Reynolds can pass on all that sort of stuff to these guys over the last year since he found out he was leaving. So, I'm concerned for them. I think they'll finish 4th to 6th. It's not a... It's not a train wreck, but I just don't think they can compete for a premiership.
Do you think Cody Walker's $1 million player?
No. I mean...
Do you think they will pay him $1 million? That's a different question.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't be. I love Cody Walker. I think he's a great player, but, I mean, we've only ever seen him play great footy when he's second banana to a controlling 7. If you're going to pay him $1 million, that means that you have to spend less money elsewhere. Seemingly, that's going to be at halfback, which could be his greatest asset, what brings out the very best in him. So if we're doing this podcast a year from now and Cody Walker's won a Dally M medal and he's transitioned 100%, $1 million, then send it his way. But until you've seen it, I just don't think you can build an entire system around him.
100% agree.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.